You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, it's time for another episode of Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show now with 100% less construction sound. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Samantha.
Hey everybody, thank you all for tuning in. We have a great show for you. We have a bunch of news, but first, let's get into some things we've been checking out. And you know what? I'm going to take initiative, and I think I'm going to go first because mine's super quick.
Roll for initiative.
I'm going to roll for initiative.
Next time we should literally do that.
We should do that. Yeah, next time. That sounds like a great idea.
That's cool theming.
I'm always going to go last because I always roll ones. I always crit fail. Anyway, I have one major check it out.
If you crit fail, you have to do somebody else's
That's it. I have to guess someone else's check it out. Someone else gives me a topic and I have to roll with it. Yeah. So I only have one major check it out. The easy stuff is like I've watched some Mystery Science Theater episodes, you know, that always happens. The one thing I was going to check out, I was all set and prepared to talk about this movie. A movie that came out, about a month ago, I would say?
About a month ago. Yeah.
A Netflix original movie called Bright, starring Will Smith and Joel Edgerton.
Their first big blockbuster straight-to-Netflix movie.
I had every intent to sit and watch the entire thing so I could talk about it, because I always feel that you can't, it's gotten some bad press, but you can't talk about something and bash it until you actually experience it. And I sat and watched about 10 minutes, and then I turned off my Netflix player and said, this isn't for me. The dialogue is so
Max Landis.
So Max Landis. It's just, oh, it's so bad. The dialogue is bad. It doesn't look like anyone's having fun. I mean, this is definitely just paycheck for Will Smith. It's almost like you can see in his eyes how he's thinking, I used to be on top. I was in Independence Day.
Welcome to Earth.
I was the man in black. And now I'm doing an original film for Netflix where I am not the interesting character. I'm the normal guy. It's not good. I'll sit down and watch it eventually, and I'll be able to tell you exactly how bad it is. But
you just couldn't stomach it this time.
This time around, it just wasn't going to happen.
I can't wait till Max Landis does a doo-doo all over his dad's great movie, American Werewolf.
Oh, you know it's going to happen.
He's
sooner or later
working on it.
Yeah, that's.
It's going to be bad.
It's going to be really bad. It's going to be really bad.
It doesn't need a remake. It's perfectly fine. It still holds up to this day. I watched it on for Halloween movies.
And if they absolutely had to do a remake, it shouldn't be written by Max Landis.
Yeah, nothing should.
Nothing should.
I hate that guy. I can't stand Max Landis. I'm sorry.
He's the worst.
Yeah.
He's one of those creators that, you know, there are certain creators that I can separate their persona from their work.
His is so ingrained in his work.
His persona is, yeah, one, his persona is so ingrained in his work. And two, I don't like his work. Like I paid money to see American Ultra in theater. That was a mistake. That was the one with Jesse Eisenberg as sleeper cell agent.
Yeah,
pot smoker.
He's like a convenience store worker. Yeah.
Yeah,
Kristen Stewart in that movie?
She was in that as well. Surprise twist, she was actually a plant by the CIA to keep an eye on him in town. She was working for the man the entire time. But then fell in love. There. Now you don't have to see the movie. You're welcome.
I mean, she's in it and he's in it. I really didn't want to see it anyway.
Yeah. You know, I thought it was just going to be a funny kind of movie where it's like, oh no, I know Kung Fu for some reason. Uh-oh. And it just was boring and bad.
Or when Max Landis wrote that bizarre diatribe about Carly Rae Jepsen and also apparently doesn't know what a saxophone is.
I will say the one good thing Max Landis has written, there is a YouTube video in two parts,
The Death of Returns Superman.
That is really good.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
that's
the first thing that I saw that he had done. So I thought, okay, Max Landis seems like an okay guy. Seems like, you know, he kind of gets it. No. No, that's not the case. He just did one good thing for the internet, and that's it. Come on to the show, Max Landis. I don't care.
I'll fight you.
We'll take it out in the streets. I'll push you in the hole out there.
It hungers.
They filled it, didn't they? It's full.
It will be hungry again.
Give it a few weeks. They'll tear it back up. It's okay.
Maybe there's a monster down there, and they have to feed it
periodically.
Yeah, before it'll bust through the street.
That's fine. Yeah.
Kill us all.
Wait. Isn't that the plot to Cabin in the Woods?
I don't know. I've never seen it.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Very, very loose strains, but yes,
I love that movie.
That's a good movie.
It's a great movie.
You know, I only saw it once. I'm sure I'd enjoy it even more on repeat viewings.
Oh, yeah.
That one time was really good.
It'd be a good, hey, I haven't seen that.
There you go.
Like,
perfect.
Picking out the references to horror movies and stuff was really good.
Really, really good. Well, that's my only check it out. I mean, I could go into detail about the Mystery Science Theater episodes I watched or how I started playing Pokemon Red again because I got bored. But, no one wants to hear about that.
I got a couple. We watched Mother last night.
Oh, boy.
And it was certainly a film.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. It starts weird and only gets progressively weirder.
No, I wouldn't say weirder. I would say upsetting.
Yeah.
Slowly gets out of control.
It's a two-hour anxiety roller coaster.
Yeah, that's the one with Jennifer Lawrence and Javier Bardem, right?
Yeah.
Among other people.
And they live in a house.
Yeah.
And people start showing up at the house, and it just gets more crazy from there.
Yeah, and it has not-so-subtle religious overtones.
Oh, yeah. Right? There's definitely,
that's
like
a big thing.
Like some,
I wouldn't say it's a religious movie. It's just
like a cult biblical thing.
Well, not religious movie, but like,
yeah, it has biblical allegories in it.
Yeah.
But they weren't, like, super heavy-handed. I mean, it wasn't,
okay,
it wasn't, like, it's weighed down by the biblical allegory. There's just a couple things where it's like, well, that's obviously, I mean,
yeah, I honestly don't know whole lot about the Bible. Not
yeah, that's the other thing. I probably don't know enough about the Bible to point out half of them. But I didn't think it made the movie bad. Like, I wouldn't say I didn't like this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it was definitely interesting. It made you think about it.
Yeah, and it entertained me. And it's one of those movies where I'm still thinking about it after watching it.
Very interesting visuals. Very strong visuals.
Yeah. That's what I hear.
The camera work was crazy, too, because it was, the majority of the movie is either shot over Jennifer Lawrence's shoulder or directly in her face or in her direct first-person perspective. Like, it jumps from those three angles, like, almost the whole movie, which is really interesting. There was one point where we were watching, and I'm like, over the shoulder, in the face, third person, second person, over the shoulder, first person, just calling it out as it switched.
Wow.
It gets really dark and weird, though. Well, I mean, I've already said the word weird like six times, but it's weirder than that. Like, the guy, the husband, is like a poet, a writer, and he can't write until past a certain point he gets inspired to write, and then people just freaking love it. And, like, it turns into a cult, and it's weird, and it was a good movie.
I like the question mark at the end of that. It's a good movie.
It's an art.
Yeah, it's an art.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where, like, I think it's just trying to make you feel something.
Yeah.
It does.
It was marketed as a horror movie, and it kind of is.
Yeah.
But it's also an Aronofsky movie, so you got that.
Yeah, I think it was mismarketed at least a little bit. I think that's where a lot of the
I was expecting some spooks. No spooks.
Yeah.
No. Just weird. Just unsettling. It's like the first half of the movie is like Jennifer Lawrence has the worst house guests ever, the movie.
Like, Michelle Pfeiffer is just making a mess, throwing her laundry on the ground.
Oh, jeez.
She's like, why are you letting them in?
her husband just keeps letting people into the house and letting people stay in their house. It's like, stop it.
He's God, and that's Eve, and she's Earth. He's like, why?
Yeah.
Why are you letting these awful humans onto my planet? I'm gonna say it was good. I mean, I enjoyed watching it. Yeah. Would I watch it again? I don't know.
Well, just because you don't want to see it in repeat viewings doesn't make a movie bad.
Yeah.
You know, there are plenty of movies that I've seen once and I think are excellent, but have no interest in seeing again.
Yeah. It made me feel emotions, and that's something.
Yeah. Like, well, there you go. And it stuck with you.
Yeah.
It clearly stuck with you.
That's my favorite thing about a movie. If I liked a movie, then it's something I'll think about for a couple days after I saw it.
Yeah.
And I've definitely been thinking about this one. Other than that, I'm going to talk about a game that is going to get a Kickstarter soon.
Okay.
It's called Krosnik, and it's like a puzzle game that almost it kind of reminds me of Yoshi's Cookie and its mechanics.
Okay, cool.
Except you make, instead of just making rows, you make crosses, hence the name.
Oh, okay.
And you're timed, and every time you make a cross, you get your time refilled. Mm-hmm. So you want to hurry up and make crosses and not run out of time. And other pieces get in the mix, like you can rotate the pieces and they like wrap around like Yoshi's Cookie.
Okay, cookies, sure.
But pieces will show up with a lock on it and make it so you can't wrap that piece around.
Oh, okay.
Or there'll be pieces that lock your entire row in place. It's a really good, really solid puzzle game, and you don't see a lot of those come out new with, like, a new concept like this, which is impressive in its own. Like, I'd like to make a cool puzzle game, too, but I have no idea how. Like, how do you even come up with that? But this game does it, and it's really cool. It has a really stylized look. It kind of looks like a Dreamcast game.
Oh, okay, cool.
It kind of has that early aughts look to it, and it's completely free. You can play it at krosnik.com.
Oh, right on.
And it's going to have a Kickstarter here on February 5th.
Hmm. Okay. That sounds like it's going to get funded. It sounds pretty solid.
It's cool.
Yeah.
It's for a better version. It's like Krosnik Plus, and it'll probably have all kinds of more features. Because right now, it's just that base time attack kind of game, but I'm sure there'll be more to it
once it gets
kickstarted.
Yeah.
But yeah, check that out. I think that's about it. Do we have anything else? Did you do anything? Did you want to talk about that podcast?
I've been listening to this podcast called Two Girls, One Ghost.
Oh, okay. I've heard about this.
It's pretty good. They're kind of doofuses, but I kind of love them.
Okay.
What is it? Sabrina and Corinne?
Yeah.
I think they're early 20-somethings that have had a lot of like ghostly experiences. And they do research and tell other stories, but they're just goofy, and they scare themselves very easily, very often. Which one is it?
I don't.
Their voices are very similar.
Yeah.
But one of them has to close their closet door because they get too spooked.
Oh, my gosh.
And they don't cut it out.
Oh, wow. Only
like 30 seconds of hearing her shut her closet door. And they were crying about pets last episode. I don't know what else to say. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, they're just goofy and funny and ghost
stories.
They're
funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One episode that killed me, they were talking about this life-size Barbie that a reader said, not a reader, listener, said that they woke up and was on their bed, like, looking at them.
Oh, jeez. Okay,
so they
threw
it away. And they went on this whole conversation about this Barbie. It was a life-size Barbie.
Okay, yeah.
So, like, the 3-foot-tall.
Yeah, the my-size Barbie or
just
whatever.
Mm-hmm. Roaming around the landfill, just walking around.
Walking around.
Just killed me thinking about that.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds really good. I'll have to check that out.
But, yeah, they are very big believers in ghosts. Which is, I don't know. Sometimes it's weird, like. It's not, I don't know what to
say. It's like a lot of times it's like, this story is fake. It's obviously fake. And they're like sold on it.
Or at least their podcast online personas are sold on it.
And they seem pretty genuine.
They seem genuine? Yeah. Okay, that's good.
Joshy.
Yes, Joshy.
Joshy-washy.
I watched the Lego Ninjago movie.
Oh, how was that?
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't bad. I liked it. It wasn't as funny as Lego Batman, and it wasn't as
clever?
No. Yeah. Meta as the Lego movie.
Okay.
I mean, it was still enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I want to say, does Will Arnett do the voice of Garmadon in that? Because sounds like him.
Okay. It's like me and that show Big Mouth. I thought 100% that the hormone monster was Will Arnett, but it's actually Nick Kroll sounding exactly like Will Arnett.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. It was weird. Yeah.
Now, while you're looking that up, I'm going to ask you a quick question. Mm-hmm. Do you think that you would have gotten more out of the Ninjago movie if you were a little more invested in the Ninjago, like, toys and, like, that TV show that they had and stuff like that? Because, I mean, like, Batman's a pre-established, you know, character, and the Lego movie had a lot of things that were very easily recognizable from pop culture. Where Ninjago, outside of Legos, that's really more, like, geared towards kids a little
bit. No, no. It was more like a martial arts kung fu flick.
Okay.
With Legos.
Okay, that's cool.
Like, I watched, like, the special features on it, and, like, Jackie Chan did all the fight choreography for it.
Oh, nice. He did?
Yes.
Oh, excellent.
Like, he brought his stunt team in. And oh, they wow. did okay. They did the real-life fights.
And then they mocapped, or at least
They modeled it. Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
Because there's a lot of stuff where, like, the Lego people don't quite move like Lego people.
Sure. Well, they'd have to do kind of,
but sometimes they do they do some stuff that, like, the normal normal Lego people wouldn't do, but mm-hmm. but there's, like, little references where, like, where they reference the fact that they are Lego people.
Okay, in
the movie. It's so funny. Like, at one point, Lloyd, the leader of the ninja team, which they almost seem like almost like a Sentai team, really,
mm-hmm.
in the film.
Yeah,
and
I mean, they got big robots.
Yeah. Which is only, like, part of the movie, really. Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. The guy who voices Garmadon, the main villain, is Justin Theroux?
Oh, he's a comedian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he sounds like Will Arnett in the movie. It's
And they probably did that on purpose.
Yeah, because, like, seriously, because yeah. I know, you know, Will Arnett is Batman in the last two movies, and
he can't be in every movie, unfortunately.
Well, he can, but yeah.
I'm sure he needs to eat.
Yeah.
Anyway. Now,
does this movie fit kind of in the Lego movie broader cinematic universe in the same way the Batman movie kind of
yes.
sort of did? Okay.
Yes. Because there's a part where, like, I guess they kind of do, like, the Lego movie thing where, like, real-life objects kind of infiltrate the universe.
Yeah, I saw the trailer. There's a cat or something, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, the whole movie, like, opens up with a live-action scene of this kid ducking into this shop, and it's, like, your stereotypical, like, kind of, like, almost, like, mystical Chinatown, like, knick-knack shop.
Okay.
And like Gremlins. Like Gremlins.
Yeah, yeah. and Jackie Chan owns the shop.
Okay, like, real-life Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the character he plays in the film.
Sure, but I mean not like Lego Jackie Chan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah.
Like
which he
actors.
Also voices a character in the movie as a Lego
As
character.
A Lego person. He's like the Master
Wu. Master Wu,
yeah. Yeah, yeah.
yeah.
The fiendish Master Wu.
Hey, we'll get to that here after the break.
I told you not to call and interrupt my Kung Fu. Oh, man, I can't wait. But anyway, it was good. Like I said, it's not as... self-aware, but not to the point of Lego Movie, but not quite as funny as Lego Batman.
I think they knew what kind of audience was going to go see it, maybe.
Yeah. It definitely
because
seems like a third-string Lego movie.
And Ninjago, even if wasn't billed as... It's billed more as a kung fu movie.
Yeah, like, they don't talk like the spinjatsu or
okay,
whatever they call it.
Well, that's good, but like... They've had to have skewed it maybe a little younger,
maybe
of an
a
audience
little,
just
a
because
little, yeah.
just because the Ninjago line is for a slightly younger,
and also the fact there is a Ninjago animated series
that is for kids.
Yes,
that is 100% for kids.
Yeah, yeah. Which is more based completely on the Lego that toy line,
the toy line, and not the movie. Right. Which actually made the movie kind of confusing, I kind of thought,
yeah,
for a minute.
Yeah, because I remember, like, I originally heard it was coming out. I was like, oh, man, I don't care about that. That was, like, one of the Lego sets I definitely don't care about.
Yeah, I don't like any of the Ninjago. I don't care about Ninjago at all, and that's the
Or the, what was that other one that came out about that same time? That, Chima? Legends of Chima or whatever?
The Chima, the Chimera,
one.
Yeah, the
yeah.
furries.
Yeah.
you know, and I'll be honest, I'm not a huge fan of the Exo-Knights.
I've watched
episodes of Exo Knights.
Oh, I haven't watched it. I mean,
it's mostly because it was just on. for me.
Yeah.
There's a robot horse one that I thought was really cool. but that's about it.
Yeah.
And I've got some kind of Spider Queen Lego lady from it just because it was a sweet Spider Queen.
Oh, that's cool. Right on.
Is she like half spider?
Yeah, she's got spider legs.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it was cool.
Pretty cool.
That's why I bought it.
That'd be like a really cool like Drider piece for like D&D.
Oh, would it?
Or Lolth the Spider Queen.
Oh, would it, Josh?
Yeah.
What about, remember Starfinder?
Yeah, I know. We'll get to that. Anyway, I don't know. There's some like good parts in the movie. Like I said, when Lloyd is kind of in the beginning of the movie where he's talking to Garmadon, the villain, he's like, "You promised to leave." He's like, "Yeah." He's like, "What are you doing with your hands back there? Are you crossing your fingers?" It's like, "No. How can I cross them? They're these claw things. I don't have fingers."
Okay. See, that's kind of clever. That's all right. Well, that's good that it was enjoyable for.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah. I actually ended up buying it. I don't regret having it.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Well, it goes along with the Lego Movie and Lego Batman as part of the Lego World
cinematic universe. Yeah.
Which makes me wonder what's the next Lego cinematic universe movie they're going to make.
I think they're supposed to do like a Lego Movie 2.
Yeah.
Eventually. Yeah. That's what I understand.
That's the next thing they have planned, I think.
Oh, is it the next thing?
Yeah. Okay. Going back and messing with Emmett and the Master Builders.
Okay. Oh, that's cool. Okay, what Lego world would you like to see?
Wonder Woman.
Spin-off.
Lego Wonder Woman.
Well, yeah, Lego Wonder Woman, of course. But I mean, like, they have the DC world, which is Batman.
Yeah.
And then they have the Ninjago world. So what's another, like, line would you like to see done?
Lego Pirates movie? Just based but on then the that would Pirates be, Legos?
But then they'd have to get Johnny Depp.
No, they wouldn't. No. See, this is why it would be good, is because they wouldn't have to get John.
They could bring back Metalbeard.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, that would be good. Nick Offerman.
Yeah.
That would be really good, actually.
I love Nick Offerman.
Yeah.
I'd almost want them to do... I mean, I guess the Lego Movie is almost like Lego City.
It is kind of Lego City.
Because I got that whole like police line thing they've been pushing real hard lately.
Well, and they never do non... licensed Lego anymore other than City, and that makes me sad.
I know.
Yeah, I miss the old, like, castle sets and the pirate set and the Viking set.
Space set.
That space set, yeah.
Space sets are really good.
I'm trying to think of the last Lego set I got really excited about. Well, other than, like, some of, like, the STEM research stuff and whatnot they did.
I know what set you got excited for. I know exactly what it was. The Big Bang Theory living room set.
Oh, my God.
No, I would melt that down.
The most boring thing you could make a Lego set of is...
It's just a static set piece?
Yeah, some Jag's apartment.
Yeah.
And I really want those Doctor Who ones, though.
Oh, I know.
That was pretty good.
And the Yellow Submarine one is so good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a good one.
But,
because that's all it is. It's just some Dorcas's apartment. Like, who cares? There's nothing special about that set that's interesting at all.
It's not
the TARDIS. I mean, God.
Yeah.
Or the Ghostbusters Firehouse.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Which is a really awesome set.
That is a great set. You know what would be a good Lego movie? Lego Harry Potter, the movie, where they can do nothing but, like, make, like, poke fun at the Harry Potter series in Harry Potter form. Basically, Potter Puppet Pals, but Lego.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Oh, that'd be pretty good.
Man, that'd be great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love Potter Puppet Pals.
Oh, yeah. That's Neil Cicerega. I mean, that's his thing. So, of course it's good.
I'm trying to think. Like, what could they do with Lego to make another, like, original movie? Man, they had a Scooby-Doo set not that long ago.
Yeah?
Yeah, they make Lego Scooby-Doo straight to DVD movies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they do that, too, with the DC movies, too.
Yeah.
They're not good.
No.
I gave one a shot. It was not good.
No, I tried.
I mean, obviously they're for kids, but even then they were not.
Yeah, good. they're a bit rough to, like, there's like the Star Wars ones too.
Yeah, I actually had one of the Star Wars ones because it came with an exclusive young Han Solo as a child Lego piece.
Oh yeah. Cuz that was the whole conceit of that movie was like, surprise, that was Han the whole time.
Yeah.
The Lego Lord of the Rings movie.
That'd be good.
That would be good.
That'd be hilarious.
Yeah, that would be really good. They can make a joke how they could do the entire 3-book series in one movie.
Yeah, if they did Lego, they should do Lego Hobbit in one movie.
In one movie, yeah.
See, we did it in one.
That's, yeah.
And we didn't have to make anything up.
All right, well, hey, let's go ahead and take a break here. And when we come back, we'll get into a little bit of news. Hey, we're back. That was the theme to Black Belt Jones by Dennis Coffey.
A great movie.
A great, great movie.
An all-time classic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. God, who is that? That's in that. Who's Black Belt Jones?
Jim Brown. Brown, yeah.
Yeah, Jim Brown. It's good stuff. So, yeah. So we played that because we all received the best news in these dark, dark times.
A shining light in these dark times of hope
in these dark times. Black Dynamite is coming back for a second film.
Yes! This year.
This year. Sometime this year.
Michael Jai White, the guy that plays Black Dynamite, tweeted out a teaser trailer that didn't really
There's really no tweezer.
But it didn't really need to.
There's really nothing to it. Yeah.
All we needed to know was more Black Dynamite is coming.
That's all we needed.
Do we want to explain what Black Dynamite is
absolutely.
For people who maybe don't know?
Yeah, Black Dynamite is a faux exploitation film.
From 2009.
It was done in 2009, but it's directed and shot in a style that looks like it's an old 1970s action movie, kind of like Shaft or like Superfly or like any
Blackula.
Of those. Blackula.
Dolomite, if you wanted.
Oh, yeah. There are lines directly pulled from a Rudy Ray Moore films. Where is Bucky and what has he had? So, yeah, no, the whole thing is filmed in like 16 millimeter. It's in overexposed film print, starring Michael Jai White, who is a big action. I wouldn't say he's a very good action star. I don't know if at this point in his career he would be considered a very big action star. He's done a lot of B movies.
Oh yeah,
where he plays the titular Black Dynamite, who is the coolest, baddest dude around, who just beats up everyone he sees and is. You can't stop him.
Yeah, and he owns an orphanage slash.
He helps the orphans.
Yeah.
He helps the orphans. But
he fights for the orphans.
But he also owns like a.
In the animated series.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But no, he owns like a.
It's the orphanage.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That's what it is. Okay,
it's
yeah.
Home for whores and orphans. It's like just completely like.
It's Buck Wild.
Yeah, I don't know how to describe the humor in it other than Buck Wild, and it's super meta and ridiculous.
It's incredibly meta.
Like sometimes they have purposeful bad edits, like a bad movie.
Oh sure.
Yeah, there's the character who reads his stage directions like
yes.
their lines, and it's hilarious.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And there's another part where like they're supposed to do like a something where like. One guy smacks a guy in the face, and he acts like he really hit him in the face. And then
the camera cuts, and there's a new extra
yeah.
in his place. It is both a parody of the genre that can also fit perfectly in with those. Like, you could tell someone that the movie was made in the 70s, yeah,
it
would fit. It would work.
It's the best kind of parody where it's somebody who loves the source material and is parodying it.
And is not just trying to make a cheap buck.
Yeah.
Like,
it comes from a good place.
Yes.
Like, I'm sure you could tell somebody this is a real movie, like, a legitimate movie, and they would probably believe you.
Well, you know how the whole project started, right? The whole idea behind it? Michael Jai White bought jean suit that he wears at the end of the movie at a thrift store and had a photo shoot with like a fake mustache and an afro wig just with a nunchuck and a gun.
Oh,
because he thought it was funny.
His Canadian tuxedo?
His Canadian tuxedo that he wears in the last frame of the film. He bought that at a thrift shop. And then he showed it to one of his buddies who's a film, budding film director and producer. He goes, you know, I bet we could write a movie about this. This is great. And there's a whole, like, meta story behind Black Dynamite that they don't get into in the movie at all. But if you talk to Michael Jai White about it, the whole idea is that it's not Michael Jai White playing the character Black Dynamite. It's Michael Jai White playing 70s wide receiver Durante Jones. in his first action film after getting injured while playing in the NFL. That's why he's so bad and lifeless in his performance.
Except when he's making his very Bruce Lee-esque kung fu faces.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. So anyway, it's coming back. I can't wait.
Adult Swim also had an animated series.
They did.
It was very good. It's different from the movie a lot, but mm-hmm. still really good. Really
yeah.
funny.
Yeah, but and the animated series had a lot of just about all the voices. Are,
yeah. Yeah.
And the animation's movie. Really great.
Mm-hmm.
The opening was done by Studio Trigger that does all those great animes, Kill the Kills.
Okay,
the
sure.
Little Witch Academia.
Yeah.
I think they did. Inferno I think they did Afro Samurai too.
They might have. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, I'm looking forward to Black Dynamite. This is
it's so quotable. It's ridiculous.
It is. Unfortunately, we can't really say
a lot of them,
a lot
though.
Of the quotes on air because it's not that kind of movie.
I haven't watched it in a long time.
One of my favorite,
watch it now.
One of my favorite scenes is when he's like practicing his kung fu and mm-hmm. he's like beating up all those guys in
yeah.
his dojo. And then like
he gets a call that his brother Jimmy.
Yeah.
Has died.
And he's like, I told you not to interrupt my kung fu.
Yeah. And then he tells them all to get out of his house. Scram! Shake a scene, you turkeys. I'll see you tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Man.
The conclave of pimps in that one scene.
But Black Dynamite, I sell drugs to the community.
Had Arsenio Hall as like the lead pimp.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Three words. Captain Kangaroo pimp.
Yeah.
Or
the one villain of the movie that is kind of not the main villain of the movie, but the fiendish Dr. Wu.
Fiendish Dr. Wu? Yeah.
When he throws like that, what was that? A
boomerang.
I thought that one even got the room!
Yeah. Yeah, he's fighting the Dr. Wu, and then all of a sudden a boomerang comes hurtling in from the window and cuts his arm off. Oh, I love it. I love it.
If you haven't seen this movie, you owe it to yourself
yeah.
to hunt down a copy of Black Dynamite.
Yeah, it's very, very good.
It is a national treasure.
It really is.
Yeah. And they made it on the dirt cheap. Like, it was like, well, because they filmed it like an old school exploitation
film.
Yeah,
it's supposed to look dirt cheap.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So from Black Dynamite, what direction of the news do we want to go in? Speaking of movies, you know what? I'll pick for you. We waited too long. I'll pick for you. Speaking of movies starring big muscle actors.
Let me do this one.
Okay, you do it.
There's a Duke Nukem movie coming out, and only one man can play Duke Nukem, and that man is John Cena.
God. Oh, that's awful. We're all fired. Every one of us.
I don't know.
I got fired, too. I don't know how it happened.
Wait. How did we never get fired for when we all mouth sang the Star Trek theme?
Because that was great.
So, yeah, they're going to make a Duke Nukem. Or
they're in talks to make
a Duke Nukem movie starring John Cena. And my question is... got to my joke before I could get to my joke. And two, my question is why? Why now? Why?
Duke Nukem is a relic of the late 90s and should probably stay there. As much as I like Duke Nukem 3D and the original platform games from which it was based.
Duke Nukem Time to Kill?
No, like Duke Nukem and Duke Nukem 2. Like the, the original.
Oh, I know. I know. But I really like Time to Kill.
It just doesn't work in now times.
Okay, so who is Duke Nukem?
Duke Nukem is a video game character action movie.
That just steals lines from other action movies.
Yeah.
And a lot from Full Metal Jacket.
And a lot from Army of Darkness.
Yeah. That big, boisterous, kind of super edgy 90s.
Yeah, he's a pastiche.
Gun boy.
Pastiche.
Right? Yeah.
Of action movie heroes from that time, like the late 80s.
Yeah.
Kind of as a parody, I guess, but not really.
Yeah, it was. It's like Black Dynamite, but bad.
Yeah, if you did it
done
bad.
Done poorly, if they did it bad.
I mean, the game is great, and it was revolutionary for its time. The tech behind it was really, in Duke Nukem 3D, was really something, and the level of interactivity in the game's worlds was something that hadn't been seen before. I mean, before that, you had, like, Doom, where the only thing you can do is shoot.
Yeah.
Like, Duke Nukem had stuff like you could play pool in the in one of the levels, or there's strippers you can tip.
Doesn't treat women great.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, that's super not good.
In today's climate, that's not going to fly.
Yeah. Also, the fact that Duke Nukem Forever, that took forever to make, is also terrible.
Oh, yeah. It was a hot pile. Yeah. And I paid $60 for that hot pile.
Okay, so you say that this movie cannot work, and I, for the most part, agree with you guys, but I offer this as a counterpoint. What if they make a movie in which Duke Nukem is the only character who is that edgy, extreme 90s character, and everyone else is walking around pointing out how super off-base he is?
See, that, like, almost like the Brady Bunch movie.
Yeah, exactly like the Brady Bunch movie.
Like, that would work, but even then, like, nobody cares about Duke Nukem anymore.
No, they could name the movie anything.
That almost sounds like Johnny Bravo with guns.
He is. That's it.
Yeah, that's not off.
But people do care about John Cena.
People do care about John Cena. And I think John Cena kind of looks like him, but he always plays a good guy.
I don't think he can play a bad guy. Although
Duke Nukem's not like a bad guy, but he's a jerk.
He's not a good dude.
He's a bad guy.
Yeah.
Although, I guess John Cena, he has played the morally gray, like, gun-toting dude before in The Marine. And he is playing... He's in that Blockers movie that's coming out soon. Have you heard about that?
No.
Yeah, he is actually one of the three main stars in a movie called Blockers. They had to change the name because the original name was something I can't actually say on radio.
Nice.
But it's about three parents who discover that their teenage daughters who are going to prom for the first time all have a lose their virginity on prom night pact, and it's
okay.
All three of the parents
are
trying to stop that from happening, and John Cena is one of the three parents.
I feel like all he would have to do is show up.
Pretty much. That's pretty much it. But he plays like a super, like, super chilled out, like, you know, happy guy, but is also a giant muscle man.
Like real John Cena.
Like real John Cena, yeah. So I can see it. In that movie, he's playing a protagonist, but kind of the person you're kind of both rooting for and against. And maybe in that sense, maybe it could work as a that same way with Duke Nukem. But I just don't know in this climate. I don't know if it's going
to
work.
I don't know if he wants to play a sex criminal. Sex pervert man.
We are getting raw with this episode this week, aren't we?
Duke Nukem is a sex pervert man with a gun. Like,
yeah.
He really is.
It doesn't work anymore. It didn't really work then either.
He's like... Duke Nukem is like the American ideal of James Bond.
Yeah.
James Bond, like old Sean Connery James Bond, is the same kind of weird sex pervert, you know, shooting guys, solving crimes, but all the nuance is taken out of it, and you replace it with America.
Muscle man with a pistol that's made of gold.
Like, yeah.
No nuance, no...
Yeah, just no nuance.
No subtlety whatsoever.
No. The subtlety is completely removed. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's going to work, but...
I bet it doesn't even happen.
Same here. But if it does, I'll go see it. I'll see that train wreck.
Yeah, that horrible accident.
Also the fact that, plus, it's a video game movie. And
it's naturally going to fail.
Yes, they have a terrible, terrible track record.
Can't they do it? I want to see a good one. I don't even care what game it is. I just want to see them do one that's good.
I wish they would redo Street Fighter. Third time's a charm.
What video game do you think would make the most passable movie? And you can't say Metal Gear, because Metal Gear is already kind of a movie.
With the most confusing plot ever.
That was my cue to go, well, it's not that confusing because, and then go on a 2-hour rant about what.
Yeah,
Metal
let's
Gear's
talk about
how
you know Snake is a clone and all this blah blah blah.
Yeah. I would.
Oh, you can't say Final Fantasy because they did that.
That's not good.
I say they've tried that a couple
they've
of times.
They've tried that.
Too.
The first thought that came to my mind, and I immediately went, "Oh no!" was Legend of Zelda.
No,
it would be at the basis level. The plot is there. There's just you need something that has just a bare bones plot that they can attach a movie to, basically. Yeah. You don't want something that's super, super lore heavy, because the heavier the game lore is, the more difficult the movie would be to produce to make fans happy. In Legend of Zelda, if you take the first game specifically, the story is guy with sword saves princess from pig monster. That's the...
Get the triangles.
Get the triangles, fight the pig man. And they could attach enough of a movie to that. They would have to jump through some hoops, like Link would have to not talk. You would have to have a silent protagonist, because at the minute Link says a word comes out of his mouth, other than "yeah,"
it's gonna be
awful, because what you'll get is that cartoon.
And I feel like
that cartoon. Excuse me, princess. Yeah.
I feel like they had to make up too much stuff, and then it would just be offensive to people, to fans. Once there's a bunch of stuff that doesn't fit in, that they had to make up for the movie for it to make a coherent film.
Yes and no. I mean, if they wanted to make a film like trilogy of Link collecting the Triforces, like each section of the Triforce, and have like one of like kind of mix and match different main bosses from different games, like have Agnim in one where he's kind of going up against that. And then you have one where, oh God, I'm drawing a blank on non-Zelda or non-Ganondorf.
Vati.
Yeah, something like that. Like, have one movie where he's, like, been turned into a wolf for half the movie or something
like
that.
Oh, for, like, Twilight Princess.
Kind of reference.
Like Zant or something.
Yeah, reference that. It could be done, but they'd have to jump through an awful lot of hoops. I still think a good Street Fighter movie could work. I think there's enough there that they could. I mean, they had that story mode for Street Fighter V.
Yeah.
And while the story wasn't great, there are enough bits and pieces of backstory for the characters that they can piece together a halfway coherent story.
You just have to get writers who give a crap about that existing story and want to do it justice.
Well, here's the thing. In the in the Street Fighter movie, the first one with Jean-Claude Van Damme, the writer cared about the movie. He came up with a good script. It was Capcom that kept coming in and saying, "You need to put in this character. You need to put in this character." The original plot had 5 Street Fighter characters in it. They were going to tell one story. Basically, the Guile versus Bison story. All the stuff with Sagat and Ken and Ryu and Vega and all those characters, those weren't in the original script. And it was Capcom that kept saying, "Oh, hey, by the way, you need to put in all 21 of our characters."
That won't blow the film.
And then they filmed the entire film, and Capcom came back to them and said, "What are you doing? You didn't put any of the special moves in."
Well, that's a good point, though.
That's a good point, but like, I mean, the director had previously been like a fight choreographer. So, he wasn't the fight choreographer. He had like written, he was like a ghostwriter for like movies. So this was like his first directing debut. I've done a lot of research into this. And he had a stunt choreographer on set to film the stunt scenes. So, but the filming got so screwed up that the director who was doing the dialogue scenes started having to film, like, fight scenes, pulling away time for the fight choreographer to film fight scenes. So he was filming dialogue scenes, the fight choreographer was, and no one knew what they were doing, and everything was a mess. And also, Raul Julia was sick. That's why that movie was a total train wreck.
And Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Well, there's a whole bunch of stuff about Jean-Claude Van Damme in that. Oh my gosh. Yeah. We don't have the time to get into it, but
what about Uncharted?
Uncharted would make a good movie, because it almost already is.
Yeah.
They'd have to cut down on a lot of him just murdering people.
Yeah.
But that wouldn't be hard.
I mean, there is that new Tomb Raider movie coming out.
Yeah,
based on the new,
might be good.
Mm-hmm. The new Tomb Raider franchise.
Yeah, it might be good.
I kind of wish Daisy Ridley was Lara Croft.
I think she would have been a good Lara Croft. I agree with that. All right. Well, hey, listen, we got a. Go ahead. Yeah.
I think Bioshock would make a great video game movie as long as you left the infinite stuff out because it goes too out there.
Yeah.
As long as you kept it the initial story of Andrew Rapture. Ryan and Rapture, and also if you end the movie after Andrew Ryan dies, then it would be really good.
Okay.
Yeah, work. The whole Atlas thing, it's
really... Yeah. The game really loses all momentum past that point anyway.
Yeah.
They just have a set number of hours that the game has to last or people get mad.
Oh, man. You could just, like, make the tagline for the movie, would you kindly?
Would you kindly come see our movie? And then you'd have to.
Yeah, yeah. So we have a couple of quick hits before we get out of here because we're actually running a little short on time. Let's stick with the movie stuff real quick. Ryan Reynolds is attached to a Clue movie.
Maybe they're maybe working sorta. On it.
Yeah, they're talking about doing a new Clue movie or a remake of Clue or something like that
with him and the writers from Deadpool.
Sure. Okay, that's great. I hope they do the same gimmick that they did with the original Clue movie
because I love that movie.
Yeah, different theaters got different endings.
It'd be cool if they
did that. That would be really cool. That'd be a good gimmick.
On the sides of my face.
I think I would hope that that's based this one more on the game than the other movie. So you don't pull comparisons to what is going to be a much better movie than this one is.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Like, because you can't top that. That movie. That movie is such a lightning in a bottle of good things.
It was
happening.
It really was. I don't know how they were able to get that cast. I mean, it was like a perfect
storm.
So, like, avoid that movie altogether and make your own Clue movie. Because there's plenty of room for, you know, funny times that are different than that. And based it on the game.
I mean, as far as, like, video games based on board games... You can only go up.
True. From Battleship?
Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah.
You mean movies based on board games.
What did I say?
You said video games.
Did I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were just talking about video games.
It's okay. It's all right. What character would Ryan Reynolds play?
I think he'd make a better Mr. Green than anything. I mean, I've heard him say that, I've heard, not him, but like news outlets say Wadsworth, but I don't like that.
I don't either.
I don't think that works.
I actually think he would be a good Mr. Body.
But then he'd just be dead for most of the movie. It's a waste of Ryan Reynolds.
You know, just make him like... Okay, I'm going to pull a comparison here. Have you seen the movie Ted?
With the bear?
With the bear.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds is in both Ted and Ted 2. He has no speaking lines. He's just there. He's also in A Million Ways to Die in the West. That other Seth MacFarlane movie that isn't very good. But he has no dialogue in that either. He dies in that movie.
Yet Christopher Lloyd makes an appearance as Doc Brown.
He does. That's true. But, like, you know, Reynolds doesn't have to have a huge part in it. I mean, they could have flashbacks and stuff like that if they really wanted to. And, again, this is
kind
thinking...
Maybe if he's kind of a smarmy Professor Plum.
That could be. Yeah, that could be. But, like, even... Again, getting away from... Why would they need to have a Wadsworth if we're getting away from...
That's true. He's
that
not a character.
Original
He's not a character in the game.
Exactly. For all we know, Ryan Reynolds could be a detective trying to investigate what's going on at this mansion. Everyone's already dead. What happened? And everything's told in flashback. And he's like the framing character.
Framing device.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so moving to game news a little bit. Nintendo's Miitomo is dying. They're ending it.
Good.
I think in May?
Yeah, and it couldn't end soon enough. I don't think anyone actually uses that app anymore.
It was kind of a failed experiment.
It was an interesting experiment, and it's an experiment that I'm glad I never spent any money on.
Yeah.
Miitomo was like... kind of like The Sims for your phone a little bit.
More like a social media thing.
It was a weird app.
It was a way for Nintendo to collect marketing data about you voluntarily without it seeming like you're doing a survey.
That too. Yeah, because they would ask you a bunch of questions and you would answer.
That was the whole gist of the gameplay is it would ask you questions and you would answer them and then it'd show your friends what you said.
Yeah, but it also showed Nintendo what you said.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, it was kind of weird.
I just like making my Mii have, like, that really deep, stupid voice.
Oh, yeah, that was...
I mean, it was fun customizing your Mii, mm-hmm. and I always thought they would add more to it, like customizing your room, or maybe there'd be furniture pieces you could put in your room.
And they never did.
But no, it never, yeah, that never happened.
Yeah. I hated those. I hated those, like... pachinko style games to get stuff.
Get special costumes and stuff.
Yeah.
I hated it, but I also kind of liked it at the same time because it made getting the stuff that much cooler when you did get
it. And they seemed very fair.
Yeah.
I will say the games did seem fair. It's not like they were out to specifically rip you off.
Yeah. I think I had almost a full ninja suit.
Yeah. My Mii guy currently has a luchador mask and, like, a business suit.
You don't say.
Yeah, I know, right? Surprise. Let's see. Last one. This is a little bit of comic news. This doesn't sound like much. This sounds really dumb and light, but this is very important. Superman has his red underwear back.
It's about darn time.
They're bringing back the classic Superman costume in the DC Comics books.
Is he going to have the yellow belt, too?
He's going to have the yellow belt. The only thing they're keeping from the new 52 design is I think he still has the little bit of a collar, although it's not as high.
I liked the little
and collar. Kind of extra lines on the cuffs that make the cuffs look a little bit more like almost like a sweater almost.
Yeah.
Yeah,
accidentally washed his red trunks with Moon Knight's laundry, and Moon Knight got real mad, and he took them away.
Yep, that's it.
Because his outfit was then pink.
Yeah. But
Moon Knight's DC, right?
Moon Knight's Marvel.
No, it's Marvel.
It's Marvel.
Shoot.
I was wondering what you're doing with that, but that's okay. That's
Darn
all
it.
Right. That's okay.
Light, tight, no, that's Marvel.
Yeah. So the whole reason why I'm excited they're bringing back the tights, which doesn't seem like much.
The tidy readies.
The tiny readies, yeah.
Tidy readies.
Episode title tidy right there, the tidy readies. But no, it doesn't seem like it's such a big deal, but... From a design standpoint, because I look at things kind of as a designer sometimes, when they removed the red tights, his costume became just one big field of blue. And it was too much of the same. It just kind of, it needed something to kind of break up.
They did the same thing with Batman, too, because they took away his black tights. And it was basically one big gray suit.
And it was awful. He just looked like a big gray blob, but at least he had the black cowl and the gloves and the boots.
Belt.
And the belt. The belt was still bright yellow. To help break things off, where Superman, everything just kind of all bled together into one big. He looked like he was wearing a big blue onesie,
and
basically.
And he had a red belt.
Yeah. But the red belt was really thin, and it didn't serve any purpose. The tights, one, they help break up the monotony of the costume. And two, it harkens back to the old strongmen of the 1930s, which was what he was partially modeled after.
And wrestling.
And wrestlers. Yeah, so it's a very iconic look, and they've tried messing with the Superman design a lot.
Yeah, I kind of liked in the New 52 the Action Comics working class.
The working
Superman.
Class, yeah, the t-shirt
wore
jeans
and big work boots.
Yeah,
that was kind of cool.
That was really cool. I did like that.
Oh, where he looked kind of like Superboy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, not forever, but, like, that's a cool way to take it.
Yeah. Like, I agree. I like that a lot.
Superman has always been the working man's hero. He's out to protect the working man.
Everybody. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm not a comics curmudgeon about a lot of things. I'm cool with a lot of changes when they go to change things, but I'm glad his classic costume's back. I really am.
Especially since it's actually classic Superman.
It's also classic Superman. It's not New 52 Superman, because that was a whole thing.
Oh, yeah. There's a whole, yeah.
Yeah, how when they rebooted the universe, somehow Superman and Lois Lane ended up in the rebooted
universe
with no power, and Clark had no powers, and there was already another Superman.
And their kid.
Well, what happened was, okay, comics, you guys, comics. What happened was when the reboot happened, There was already the Superman in the t-shirt and jeans. And so the original Clark Kent said, you know what? They already have a Superman. They don't need me. Changed his name. Lois changed her name. He had no powers. They started a new life, had a kid. Everything was cool. After a while, original Clark Kent started developing his powers again, but kept them in secret because he's like, you know what? Again,
I don't need to be Superman.
I don't need to be Superman. This
not
universe
my problem anymore.
Already has a super. They are. He's like, my time is done. I've earned this bit of, you know, respite, this vacation. I'm done. This universe has its own Superman. And then this universe, the new Superman died. Like in the books, super absorbed yellow sun energy and
literally exploded.
And exploded.
Just exploded.
Just super exploded.
Well, yeah, but then when he did that, a few people got powers.
Yeah, yeah. And including Clark Kent's son.
Yes.
Christopher Kent.
So, Blark Kent.
Blark Kent. And that's when the original pre-New 52 Superman decided, you know what?
Post-crisis,
yeah. We need to have a Superman in this universe. So he stepped up.
Yep.
And that's cool. I think that's really cool.
Didn't Super Lois die too?
No.
I can't remember.
I don't believe so.
The rebirth Lois, because she was Superwoman for a little
bit. She was Superwoman. You're right. I think she might have.
Yeah, I think she did die. Yeah.
The best Lois is Superman animated series Lois.
Oh, I agree.
Oh, definitely.
I agree.
Definitely.
The best Superman of a lot of things are the Superman animated series.
Man, that show is good.
It is. It's
the whole,
really good.
The whole, I love the whole Bruce Timverse.
It doesn't get the respect that Batman animated series does, but it's just as good.
I still liked it.
It's just as good.
The art style, or not the art style, but like the mood and the shading on the art, I think it wasn't Batman the animated series. A lot of it was painted and a lot of it was like they took for like the backgrounds, they would take like a
lot of it was anime too.
Well, yeah, a lot of it was that too, but like they would take like a sheet of like, say, dark blue and then paint black all over it and then scratch off the areas like a reverse kind of relief.
Yeah.
And that's how they designed a lot of the backgrounds in that. And it was very unique looking, whereas Superman, the animated series, just looked like a cartoon. It was in the Bruce Timm style, but it just looked like a cartoon.
Yeah, and everything was bright and colorful.
Like Superman should be.
But that fits Superman so much better.
But because it wasn't quite as stylized as the Batman series, it doesn't quite get as much play.
Yeah.
Nostalgia wise, but it's a good show.
And then you know, with the connection is the Justice League and Justice League Unlimited,
and that was all very
fantastic.
All that stuff
is great.
Mm-hmm. So we are way over on time, so let's go ahead and wrap things up. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can also find us on most forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch at Nerd Overload Now.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nerd Overload TV.
That's right. We're also on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, just about anywhere you can find a podcast, you can find our podcast. We're also on WZ.
I like that. That was snappy.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. We're also on WZMOFM.com on Saturdays at 10 a.m. and 9 p.m. So you can check us out over there. And I think that's it. Again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Tell your friends. Peace out.